moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Oh wait, we should do the other one. We should do the other one?
Yes.
Right, cuz it's like, okay, here we go. We'll try this again. Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, cuz all of course are welcome to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. I'm the one that they call Clinton, and I'm here with a woman who is so woke that she calls the Democratic Black National Caucus mass incarceration. Leslie M. Scott Jones.
That was lovely.
Leslie to the M, to the Scott, to the Jones.
Thank you, Clinton.
To the Jones.
Good morning, darling. How are you?
Good morning, Leslie. I'm well. How are you?
I have a bit of a show hangover.
You had a show last night?
Yes, I had a show last night. And
doing the Black Mac?
Doing the Black Mac. And
it doesn't sound really well if you say it like that.
Well, depends on who Black Mac is, doesn't it?
Hello!
I mean,
hello!
So my best friend from high school came to the show last night, mm-hmm. and was blown away, which was awesome.
Awesome.
And then we had lots of family members of cast members in the show seeing the show last night. So
that's good, because I always think about adaptations of Macbeth as being family shows.
Yes, you know, blood, gore, dysfunctional relationships. Of course,
indeed,
it's all family.
Killing patriarchs.
It's what we do.
There you go.
But anyway, no, it was a great show last night. Today is the last one.
So I hear.
Oh, such welcome and unwelcome things all together.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sad, but, you know, this physical comedy thing, yeah. I'm like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. I'm too old for that. Like... Seriously, my body is like, what are you doing? You're not 20 anymore.
Thank you for cutting that off, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we don't need another Leslie FCC fine.
Sorry. Yeah, like, I'm so, like, sore and, like, feeling my age, which is weird. I've never done a show where I, like, feel my age in this way.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world.
Yeah, it's not fun, man.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Went to get out of
See,
bed.
See, I'm sitting there limping around the stage. You all are looking at me like, what's the problem, Grandpa?
I know, right?
I'm asking questions like, how many steps are there to get on the stage?
Right?
You guys are looking at me like, what's your problem? It's like, now you know.
Like,
now you know.
I went to get out of bed this morning and I was like, oh. Like, wait a minute. Why am I making noises like my great uncle? Like, this is not okay.
That's okay. Just keep in mind that Tom Cruise is older than both of us and still doing his own stunts. Yeah, he's evil.
Okay, I have questions.
He's evil.
He is evil. He is evil. There's some black magic involved in that. I'm sorry. Not to mention he's crazy. But, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? We have a guest who is not crazy.
Hey!
And on top of that, an amazing visual artist. So, Adam, hey.
Hi.
Adam Disbro, welcome back to the show. How's it going, man?
Really well. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm really glad to be here.
Of course.
And I'm just really enjoying listening to both of you. Just now. That was a lot of fun.
Hearing us natter on.
And thank you for saying I'm not crazy, because sometimes I feel a bit like a madman with what I do.
Well, you know, that's an artist thing. Like, we all have that.
We all have. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we all have
good to know. Good to know that's normal. that's normal. If I wasn't feeling that way, there'd probably be something wrong then.
Exactly. Yeah. There would. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I think with all artists, there have to be at least moments of why am I not like other people?
Yeah.
Sure.
And is that a bad thing?
Not at all.
And you know, I mean, anytime I have those thoughts, it's always like, who would want to be normal? Like,
or at the very least, it's moments when our parents say, why aren't you like other people?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I like that. I like actually what you said, because it's interesting enough, but like the topic of being normal and what is normal, I feel like that painting actually, the one we're talking about
today,
actually addresses that entire thing. And I didn't, that wasn't like purposeful. It's just natural segue kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But like, what is normal and is there even such a thing? That's kind of what that painting is all about.
Yeah, let's talk. You've got a show coming up.
I do, yeah. Its opening is August 3rd from 6 to 8 p.m.
First Fridays,
right?
Yeah.
And it's at the Mud House downtown on the downtown mall.
And one of my favorite hangouts.
Oh, yeah, the place is great. And they have amazing art, too. I'm so happy to be, and you know, I just feel very blessed to be invited to show there. They've given me 2 months, which is a big deal.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
That's awesome. Yeah, so this will be up for a while. And, it was just an honor because I've seen some of my favorite art in Charlottesville at that place.
Yeah.
And So
not to get on our listeners at all, not to put any pressure on you, because we like for Homegrown to be a safe space.
Oh, whatever.
We like for Homegrown to be a space where it's your happy place. There is very little judgment here, unless you are FCC chairman and Verizon glory hole receiver, Ajit Pai. Then there's a little bit of judgment, just a bit of judgment. But no excuse now to not see this boy's show.
Be up for 2 months.
2 months
please.
And coffee.
Like, just
2 months and coffee and scones.
You know what? If you don't want to get coffee, they have lovely smoothies there too. I love their smoothies.
And fresh squeezed juice.
I know.
I like the cold cow, little milk with some things. So what's it like hanging in Mudhouse?
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I haven't yet hung the show. I'll be doing that tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And, this piece, it's called, the show is titled Utopia.
Yeah, so talk about the title.
Okay, well, Utopia, as you know, I suppose is a representation of the perfect society,
mm-hmm.
or society perfected. But I think this is a great point in time to address what that is. And apparently I'm not the only one, because other really big artists, I probably don't need to name them because they are already doing what they do and you're probably aware of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But other people are feeling the need to address the same thing. But so this painting is really just about balance and harmony and what that actually is. And I think that utopia is the idea of utopia, the antiquated thought or behind utopia is not real. And it's actually one person's vision of control for other people.
Yes.
And which is actually a dictatorship,
mm-hmm.
and is not harmony. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's a perfect time to address that concept. And that's what this painting is all about. This painting is about balance and harmony. I have, like, in terms of working on this piece, I came to a point where I actually have another title for it, because that's helped me to, like, get deeper in.
Uh-huh.
So for me, this painting could also be called Everything All the Time.
I see that.
So it's really just many, many layers, and I'm talking a lot of layers, of conceptuality, conceptual imagery. Pretty much everything is used more than once on top of itself,
mm-hmm.
and I've also pulled upon, you know, black and white, so the yin yang, I think, mm-hmm. some people will kind of see that, the balance of the yin. Now the yin yang is a perfect symbol and far better than mine. So I'll just say that, but this piece is literally a compiling of everything all at once in an attempt at harmony and balance at the same time, which I feel like is actually what a functional society would be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned yin yang.
Mm-hmm.
And we have kind of corrupted mm-hmm. the yin and the yang.
Yeah.
Because when it was created, we look at it as the black part of it being the bad side and the white part of it being the good side. And in actuality, in Asian culture, it's reversed.
Hmm.
So I'm looking at the painting and how the white is kind of bleeding in some ways into the black. Mm-hmm. So did you mean the good bleeding into the bad or the black?
Well, it's interesting. That's a great point to make. And I guess what I'm saying is that there's no such thing as either. It's all just reality. Mm-hmm. And when people bring things like good and bad to it, that's people bringing it.
Yes.
So my understanding with yin yang is actually active versus inactive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to even attempt to say which yin or yang is which, because every time I read up on it, I'm reminded that I had it backwards.
Yeah.
For me, a lot of my art is really so much more about absence of thought and just feeling.
Okay.
So I feel like...
Go into that more. A lot of your art is about absence of thought and feeling. Talk more about that.
Well, it is about feeling, and it would be about the absence of thought. So when I'm painting, I try not to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get to a point when I am thinking too much into something, is a point when I realize I have to really stop, step back, and just live with it for a bit, work on it in my head for a while, live with it in the background of my life, hang it. Not really hang it, but put it up on my easel in my house.
Yep.
Walk around. And when I put it there in my head, in the background, not in the active place.
Yeah.
That's when that's when great things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I won't be focusing on it. I won't be putting all this mental energy into it and purposefully forcing anything. And that's when I feel like some of my best work happens. And it doesn't even happen on the canvas. It happens in my head.
Right.
And
that's interesting. So that leads me to a question that I've always had,
mm-hmm.
that I've never asked a visual artist. Where does the work really exist? Does it exist in the technique and the execution of it, or does it exist in the concept of it before media even hits canvas or whatever substance?
Oh yeah, great question. Wow. And it's loaded too. But I think I can just simplify the question. Where does the work really exist? The work exists in the unseen. It exists way before it ever becomes created or physical, you know, become materialized.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, there are these stages of creation.
Yeah.
And
nice.
And the very first stage is so deep that it's not even mentally processed. It comes from the place of simply being, you know? And that's where things like, you know, in terms of expressionist art, being a writer, being a painter, being an artist of any kind, that's where becoming to know yourself is important. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you can actually ever really know yourself is another question and another topic. But getting to a place where you're comfortable and in exploring your own thoughts and exploring your own feelings, because we can't help but be what we are. But if we're okay with being what we are without trying to control that at any time, then we can start to explore with innocence and with just a inquisitiveness, a questioning, a joy, what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where great art comes from, I think. It comes from an unseen place, a place of being. So from there, you get that second stage where you're actually thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually the second stage of creation to me. The third stage would be where you're starting to conceptualize how you will put it on the canvas or create it in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You start formulating these ideas, because the further away you get from that pure unseen thing,
mm-hmm.
The more human it becomes. And there's a lot of difference between that unseen thing and human. It's huge. The fourth stage of creation would be putting it into real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a bit of it's interesting. I won't get into too highly defining. You know, there's probably some of that third stage where, like, the third stage would be the action of creating. See mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of the creation in that third stage too. But the final product, mm-hmm. like the finished thing, is that fourth stage.
Right.
So the process of creating it would be the third.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Where does
And the interesting thing, because I always I've said this before. One of the cool things about this show is to speak with artists of from various different disciplines and to see where the differences are and where the similarities are.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that so much of your language, because Leslie and I are both theater artists.
And I've actually seen I've been seeing you on stage since for years.
Oh, well, there you go.
So you know what a treat that is.
Oh yeah, you survived.
It's such a treat.
So it's interesting that that the language that you use is almost exactly the language that theater artists use.
When talking
about, you know, the important, like this foundational importance of knowing yourself, and being open to aspects of yourself so that they come out.
Interesting.
Hey, let's do a drop, and then
go right back in. Pay, you know, half a bill.
All right, we are going to be back in just a moment with Adam Disbro. This is Homegrown.
Dear ones, this is Carmel Clavin of Spectacle and Mirth. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
17 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Now it's 18 minutes past the hour. We must be having fun because time is flying.
It's flying by talking with Adam Disbro, the visual artist. He's having a show at Mudhouse on opens on August 3rd called Utopia. So we were just talking about the similarity between, because Adam was kind enough to explain the creation process to us.
Stages of creation. Love that phrase. Love it.
So we were just talking about the similarities between that process and over different genres of art. So talking about the same process as a writer or an actor creating a character, and how surprising it is that it's so similar. So do you find that what we're talking about, the translation from that perfect vision in your head to canvas is bumpy? And does it depend on does it depend on what you're working on, whether it's bumpy or not?
Or is it even a perfect vision? Because I know that sometimes I go into an artistic, when I go into an artistic thing, what I have in my head is nebulous, and it takes the execution to give it definition.
Certainly. And that's, I mean, absolutely it does. And that's a great way of putting it, because it takes the execution to give a definition. That's pretty much exactly right, because you have this concept that you want to convey, and there's obviously going to be some variance between its material form and what you hold in your mind. I think one of the great examples of mastered execution is how close you can get the material representation to match what you had in your mind. So, you know, with this one, with the Utopia piece, I'm really, really happy, because this piece first began through a conversation I had, and I'm going to give a little shout out here to my man Lucas Brown of Breakers. We were sitting downtown. Sitting downtown having tacos.
Yeah.
And we were just talking as our Taco Tuesdays. Great conversation. He's a great conversationalist, good friend of mine. And the Utopia piece came around, and you know, so the very first time this project was given life was through a conversation, and we talked about it a bit, and immediately what you see there is really close to what, like, basically I saw the black and the white and the red and the gold and the gold square with the line.
Yeah.
I saw that immediately. Like, that's the image I got in my brain, and I wanted to, in my, you know, or my heart or my soul, whatever. And I wanted to convey that. But, you know, the definition. You know, when you get up on this piece and you get some definition to it, you'll see right. there's a whole lot more to it. There's layers, there's right. texture. There's actually...
There's a lot of text that's etched in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. absolutely. There's actually passages from two different bodies of work, both right. pertaining to Utopia. One, Thomas More's Utopia, is in the back layer, actually in paint, where you can't really see it in that image. Yeah. But then on top of that, you've got a quote from Shakespeare in charcoal,
nice.
both pertaining to the concept of Utopia. Mm-hmm. And honestly... Going back to that original point is that, you know, if we look at what Utopia is or what it has been, its ideal in the past, it's a human ideal, and it's one man's projection of perfection, and he's usually dominating other people yeah. to make that real. And, you know, and it doesn't matter if how constructive or positive that vision is. The fact that it's one person's vision means that it can't work.
Right.
So... Mm-hmm. What I believe, I think we are getting to a place as human, you know, human beings are getting to a place where we're evolved enough in mind, hopefully, and in heart, to understand that like perfection is actually kind of entropy, and I don't mean chaos because chaos is disorder.
Yes, that's different.
But entropy, as in the order of nature, and that's mm-hmm. that's all I'm trying to do with this painting is make people. Have a conversation or create, not make them do anything, but have a conversation with people about this because we're getting to a place where, you know, if it's there, if we can talk about it and if it's in my heart, that means it's in other people's hearts too. And
yep.
if we can talk about it, then now's the time. And,
mm-hmm.
Okay. I love the fact that there's a little puppy dog.
Yeah. Love it too. I don't know. I'll say yes, thumbs up, dig it. I don't see the puppy dog, but I create my work in a way so that whatever you carry with you, it's entropic enough. Mm-hmm. It's layered enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the one of those things that the psychiatrists hold up so you can
see. Yes.
The Rorschach.
So, yeah, it's the Rorschach.
Yeah, the Rorschach test. I create work intentionally so that people, because we have in us layers and layers. We infinity. Our minds are Pandora's box.
Yep.
And so one thing that I've been doing since the beginning with expressionist painting is working to open the mind up, you know, to have that conversation and help people see whatever they carry with them.
Yeah.
And that's I think one of the most profound and beneficial things about abstract art is that it can mean so much to so many different people.
Different people.
And, yeah. You know, different collectors. Some people want me to talk about the painting and some people don't want me to talk about the painting.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we have had, I have had this discussion with several other artists and a couple of academics. I mean, once you create the art, once it's out there, it's a catch 22. Mm. To explain it because, and especially in the case of theater, like I've already performed for you
mm-hmm.
and you asking me questions about it, asking to explain something that you didn't get is yet another level of performance mm-hmm. that I didn't offer you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it almost sullies it in a way.
Sure.
You know, I mean, is that the same for a visual artist?
It is. It can be. So I think it's important to respect, you know, and as the artist, respecting the collector too. So it's about reading people. Now, like, so for me, and I'm sure this is different for other people. You know, this is probably one of those relative things for different performers, different
right.
artists. You know, for me, it's a great joy of mine to mm-hmm. talk about the work,
right.
you know, because it gives me a chance to explore it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I work on my stuff through this place of no thought.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, I'm working to just convey a concept. And then after it's finished and I've signed it, because after I sign something, I it's a pretty strong rule of mine not to touch
not
it.
Not to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So once it's signed.
Do you hear that, George Lucas?
So once it's signed, then I have the opportunity to explore it more too, and be like, "Wow, what have I? What you know?
What did I do?
Yeah, what just came out?" And so it really depends. Now, like, of course, you're not like invited to my house to like for me to explain my art. So that's like that would be like a, you know, a breach in so many different levels.
Right.
But if you come to the opening, the 2 hours in the time and in the world when you have me present to talk about this piece together, I'm overjoyed to talk about it. You know what I mean? Because that's why I'm here. I have allotted this very specific time.
Right.
For and hung it in a very specific place.
Yeah.
And if you have taken the time to come and see it too, then that's the one moment when you have me there to talk about it too.
Yeah.
So speaking about your work coming from a place of no thought, can you talk about the self-portraits in juxtaposition to
Utopia? So I was telling Clinton before the show started that at the Mud House there's going to be another set. So this is a highly polished piece, the Utopia painting. It's the title piece. It's framed behind glass in a walnut frame with high gloss, and it's just polished in every way I could execute.
It's your album single.
Yeah, so I wanted to juxtapose that at this show with something that's a bit more raw, you know, because I like raw work too, and you know, in expressionist painting, expressionist art is very raw. It comes from a raw place. So I'm also going to be showing it's going to be called four blind self-portraits or four self-portraits. I'm still working out that title. But it's basically four self-portraits that are blind and timed on wood panels, unframed. And I've kind of painted on those panels to create dimensionality. So there's squares and lines and different colors to create depth.
Yeah.
And then over that, I'm doing using charcoal, and I'm doing 2-minute blind self-portrait. So I have a picture of myself, and I won't look at what I'm at the panel, and I'll just draw, you know, on my draw looking at an image of myself. Uh-huh. And after the 2 minutes is up, I sign it, and it's done.
Boom.
And so the place of no thought. Now, it's actually one of the highest levels of execution of no thought to do that, because I have to just completely let go.
Yeah.
And I find the best ones, I've done tons of these at this point. I'm only picking four, you know, so I want a bunch of them to pick from.
Uh-huh.
The best ones are the ones where I actually allow myself to feel something passionate, like maybe like any, it doesn't matter what it is, but it could be joy. It could be sadness. It could be like, it could be just the weight of life. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is, but as long as I'm like, but the greater emotion that I'm allowing to come out of my hand in that 2 minutes and kind of push it out there with intent, those are the best ones.
Wow. Wow.
Wow, that's a perfect place to end.
Can't wait to see the show. Adam, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Can I plug one thing?
Yeah, yeah. Plug and then give the people once again the what, where's and why's about the show.
Perfect. I just want to say thank you both so much for having me on again. It's a real honor. I want to say I love you to my wife and daughter who are listening.
Aww.
And I want to say please follow me on social media, Facebook, Adam Disbro Artist, on Instagram, at Art Is Brave. And you can probably find me on Twitter, at Art Is Brave, too, but I don't do a lot on there. anyway, the show is at the Mud House downtown, August 3rd, for First Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m., Mud House downtown.
Awesome.
Hope to see you.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, Adam. Adam Disbro. I said that as if we had a studio audience.
Like, you just wanted, you know.
Where's the applause?
We need an applause track. Like,
we
apparently.
Do need an applause track. Hey, let's talk about the art that we have coming up.
Oh, yes, let's do that. Uh-oh. Here we go. I turned the mic and it's gone wonky. It's all right. Currently running December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs its summer-fall season with four plays. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, George Etheridge's The Man of Mode, or Sir Bopling Flutter, and Richard III and As You Like It by Shakespeare. Currently running through August 19th, artist Samantha Gray's show Guyan Reveries running at the McGuffey Art Center. It's your last chance to see Crybaby, the musical based on the John Waters movie by the same name, presented as part of Live Arts Teen Summer Program. Last chance to see Black Mac, a unique African-American adaptation of Macbeth by Charlottesville Players Guild at the Jefferson School African-American Heritage Center today at 2 p.m. Get there. Last chance for a recreation of the Marx Brothers production The Coconuts at UVA's Colbert Theater as part of their Heritage Summer Theater Festival. That's a lot of last chances. Okay, currently running all through August 18th, Young Frankenstein.
It's a rough you've got a rough opportunity to rough. It's going to be hard for you. A lot of choices to see.
I know, right? But see Black Mac. That should be your choice. Just saying. Anyway, Young Frankenstein at Four County Players, currently running through August 5th, Into the Woods at the Paramount Theater by Charlottesville Opera. Oh, Into the Woods. That's one of my favorites. Through August 5th, The Mountaintop at UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater, the final production of this year's Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Through August 5th, Pirates of Penzance by Black Box Players at Aldersgate United Methodist Church. Sorry, I'm just thinking of that show being performed in a church. Wow.
It's Gilbert and Sullivan. They only get so randy. I mean, it's not like... It's not like they're sacrificing kids in the middle
of they're not sacrificing kids.
One.
But there's an awful lot of, you know, sword thrusting and all that. All right, interesting. July 31st, University of Richmond professor Bert Ashe discusses his memoir, Twisted.
Really, that's your takeaway when you see productions of Pirates of Penzance, the sword
thrusting?
I've done
Pirates of Penzance. I know what goes on.
Okay.
University of Richmond professor Bert Ashe discusses his memoir, Twisted, My Dreadlock Chronicles, at the Northside branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Mm-hmm. I need to go to that.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating.
I need to go to that. That's that. He wrote an entire book about his hair. I need to meet this brother. August 1st, author Max Sheridan leads Plot, Part 1, From Concept to Story Arc, a four-hour workshop for both experienced and aspiring writers at the Charlottesville Writer House. Part 2, the next day on August 2nd. Also on August 4th, comedian and former guest Winston Hodges hosts his comedy game show Hybrid, the Winstmas Games?
I think it is. The Winstmas Games.
The
I think
Winstmas
that's it.
Games.
The Winstmas Games.
At the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. All right. Work on the name, precious. August 3rd, Annie Up Comedy hosts Battle Edition with Chris Allen and Winston Hodges at the Ix Art Park. On the 4th, Big Blue Door presents improv at the Belmont Arts Collective. And for your musical options this week.
For your musical options this week, currently running till August 5th, the Wintergreen Summer Music Festival. This year's festival is Building Bridges, celebrating the connections that only music can make. Full schedule can be found at wintergreenperformingarts.org. Today's Eggs Benefit at Brasserie Saison, something that happens every Sunday. But today's Eggs Benefit at Brasserie Saison in the downtown mall features, of course, live jazz, as they do every Sunday. And the proceeds for today's brunch goes to Charlottesville Mall SPCA, going until 3 p.m. Today, South Canal Street at Cross Key Vineyards, just south of Harrisonburg at 1 p.m. Cat and the Travelers at Pippin Hill Farm and Vineyards at 2 p.m. Adar Duo at Glasshouse Wine p.m. On July 31st, the Charlottesville Municipal Band plays Summer Concert No. 5, featuring works from the Morceau Symphonique to the Guardians of the Galaxy. That type of range, only from the Charlottesville Municipal Band.
Guardians of, really?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
August 1st, the John Spear Band at the Chapin Pub and Bry. Also on August 1st, Alligator at the Jefferson Theater, LG and Friends of the Whiskey Jar. On the 2nd, Anders Coe plays Brews with a View at the 2nd Street Gallery with Minnesota Rage Against the Machine cover band, Gorilla Radio. August 2nd also, Face Made for Radio at the Whiskey Jar, the Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's, the Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's on the 3rd, Skip Castro plays Fridays After 5 at the Sprint Pavilion on the 3rd, also on the 3rd, Rob Cheatham and our woman Sarah White at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, Aaron Lunsford holding it down at the Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room, and also on the 3rd in the Music Resource Center. They mix live collaborative video with open mic opportunities in their Live at 5 show. All that on August 3rd. On August 4th, Adar is at the Whiskey Jar, Jonah Kane Wesk at Albemarle Cider Works, the Blue Ridge Irish Music School Traditional Ensemble at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
That's a very long name.
Indeed. And the Sons of Bill play material from their new album, Oh God, Ma'am, at the Jefferson. Every Friday, it's the Pickin' and Grinnin' Vocal and Musical Jam at James River Brewery in Scottsville. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music. They're with their weekly open jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Where else? Also every Monday, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar, the Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero.
Hey!
And every Wednesday, open mic night at Prairie Nada Farm Brewery. Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. DG and Friends at the Bebedero. Bachata Fusion at the Ix Art Park. And Stone Rollin' at the Shabin Pub and Bry. Also, over there at the little place called Miller's, it's the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet.
Yeah.
Holding down the jazz like it was meant to be held down. Every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday,
John Dearth
and the John Dearth Quintet over at Miller's, because every once in a while you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some of the artistic events available in our wonderful artistic town.
I am Chandler Farabee from Vinegar Hill Theater at Lighthouse Studio, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
37 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Alamore County School Superintendent Dr. Pam Moran, talking about improving the quality of K-12 education throughout the state. But first,
we have a legend in the building right now. I'm not joking. It's right here on the piece of paper. Greg Brown, guitar god.
Woohoo!
That's who we got in here.
Ow. Wow, that's heavy for a Sunday morning. Wow, thank you. That's a hell of an introduction.
And it is not a lie. It is not a lie.
Greg, welcome back to the show, man.
Well, thank you. It was great to see you guys as always.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you keep putting out music, so we gotta have you back.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I've been quite prolific the last few years. Absolutely.
I know. So you've got a new classical album coming out, mm-hmm. okay, on the 4th.
10th.
On the 10th, okay. Oops. And so what was the impetus for this one?
Gotcha. So, so this is, you know, I've done a few things over the last couple of years with, reconnected with my rock roots and all other kinds of stuff for doing chamber music, guitar with other instruments. So this is mostly guitar, going back to basics. And I think what happened was I did this gig in April at the Haven, and I wanted to do something different that I haven't done for a while. And I revisited a bunch of tunes that I haven't played for a while. And then I realized, oh my God, these aren't available anymore. So, So I went back, and because this is, we're going back to the mid 90s. And so I went back and kind of remastered some of those. And then I put some other pieces over the years that kind of fit. And then there's some new stuff as well, about 20 plus minutes of new stuff. So the whole disc runs, it's 21 tracks. And runs over an hour. So it's a whole lot of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty heavy.
21 tracks?
Right. Now, some are little ditties, like little etudes and things like that. But okay. Then some are also concert works as well. There's also a piece on there called Merlin, which is actually classical guitar and effects, like my electric guitar roots.
Really?
Yeah, it's a trip. And then it has, and it's like in a Celtic tuning and things like that. So it's a very cool, unique classical piece. So
I love how he calls it a tune, a ditty. It's so cute.
So it's a self-titled album, right?
Yes, my first self-titled disc.
And so making it a self-titled, making it an eponymous album, was that a reflection of the wide range of works? Was it? Did you have the feeling of like here is a fuller presentation of me as opposed to just a moment in time?
No, absolutely. It's quite a spectrum. So I definitely have some classical stuff, and then like I said, the Merlin piece. I have some Spanish Latin-y stuff. There's definitely some pieces that connect to my rock roots as well, but it's all, I mean, I'm doing finger tapping and stuff on a classical guitar. So it's all across the board, but it's all me. It's all original stuff. So there are some duets, you know, but actually it closes with a trio. But all the parts are done by me, which is kind of cool.
Oh, what was it like? So what was it like doing, a duet and trio with yourself? How did you do that?
With a metronome.
The musician's friend.
It was very cool. I did a piece years ago, and I don't know why. I like when I get deep and I get somber, I always like to write in G minor, which guitar players kind of always freak out me for, because they're like, no, guitar players don't write stuff in G minor. It's like, I don't know, I like it. There's something about that key that I like. And so it's this very somber piece about the Bridge of Sighs in Venice. And I remember being there many years ago, probably 18 years ago. And there's just something about that. If you're not familiar with it, I mean, check it out. It's a very deep place. It's, you know, I basically, essentially, when you get sentenced to usually life or the dungeons, ultimately death, it was this bridge, and you would take this last gasp through this window, and you'd see the Grand Canal and see the birds and the whole nine yards, and then off to the dungeons. It was like your last piece of reality and life you would see before you went down to the dungeons, to the end. And so, yeah, it's pretty heavy. So basically, there's a pretty somber chord progression over it, and there's a melodic line over it. So, but it's pretty dark.
Yeah. But even with, and I've always wondered this with people who are doing multiple track recording, even with a metronome to keep yourself in time, do you find like you do a track, you do a run, and then you do others, and then by the time you go, you look at the first track you did and said, well, that doesn't quite have the, you know, I progressed in terms of expression, in terms of emotion, through doing the other tracks. Let me now go back and do that first track again to try to get it to where the same. Does that happen?
That does happen. So the number one rule with that is to do not ever delete the metronome track. Because if you want to go back, it's like, you know what I mean? And I've done that. I think I've done that with that piece. I was like, yeah, this is cool. And then I'd be like, well, then maybe it's too fast, and you kind of miss some of that somber feel. So then I'd have to go back, and you'd really have to start it all over from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, and for those of you who don't know, I've been working with Greg for a little while. He is a perfectionist.
It's true. I like to think of him as an extremist, but okay, we can go with perfectionist.
No, he's a perfectionist. He wants to get it right.
Yeah, when it comes to my music, that's not a lie.
But that's what makes your music enjoyable to listen to. Like,
well, thank you.
When you know that someone puts that much into it, then you listening to it, you're like, wow, I got the best of this person at this moment in time. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah, thank you. No, they're definitely time capsules. I mean, each disc I do is definitely reflective of what was going on in my life at the time. So, yeah. So
why 21 tracks? Like, that's a lot on a classical album.
It is.
Like, that's what you get on a rock album. Like,
yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, those worlds are always going simultaneously in my head. So, you know, for better or for worse, it just wound up that way. I mean, really, I mean, it wasn't anything I tried to do. Cause I really went, like I said, the initial impetus was doing remastering the old stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's cool, but I just didn't really want to rehash the old stuff. So then I put some other things that I thought over the years that would work as a package, and then a whole bunch of new stuff. And then Merlin was the one that tipped it over the edge. Cause I think running time is 12, 13 minutes. I mean, it's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. For a classical guitar work, I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's pretty epic. And then I was like, damn. I mean,
like, oh, that's a lot of stuff. You know what? I'll stop. I'll just stop right here.
But then, you know, then why not? You know, you get so many people nowadays that are so hooked into downloading one track here, one track there. It's like,
right.
You know, I think that you need to do something that's enticing for a package to be like, whoa, this is 21 tracks. This is over an hour's worth of music.
Right.
It's all original stuff. I mean, it doesn't get more personal than that.
Exactly.
You know, so,
exactly.
Which is also, the self-titled thing. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Elizabeth.
We're going to do it. Drop and then have him play a little something for us.
Can I throw in one quick question before we do the drop?
Please.
To build on what you just said, with so many people experiencing music just in terms of single tracks, does that make you resist doing a whole body of work? Like, do you ever think, you know, why do the whole album?
Right.
Because I know that there's some like pop musicians who are saying like, we're not going to do albums anymore because that's not the way things are going. We're just going to, it's like going back in time to the 50s and the 40s where we're just going to do release, you know, EPs or just singles.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's an excellent question. I have wrestled with it, and I think this beast, this project has been unique that it just kind of took on a life of its own.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it really kind of took you over.
Yeah, yeah. And it was very personal. And so I had, but when I look at, like, if I do someone like the old rock metal stuff or whatever, like that, I kind of just look at it differently as far as marketing. I mean, I actually already have another probably 25, 30 minutes of rock metal stuff done too. And then I have another thing I'm looking at that's probably running at 25, 30 minutes too. But, you know, but some of that stuff is just very different. So yeah, doing like singles in the classical world, it's just a different, if it's a different animal.
That, nobody does that.
Yeah, no, everybody wants to, you know, they want to
listen to the arc. They want to see the
whole thing. So yeah. I think it depends on which genre I'm sticking my toe in, you know, and just mm-hmm. Let's do this.
And see, that's why we call you a guitar god, because mm-hmm. you have like six genres that you play in.
It's true. I don't like to get bored.
All right, we're going to do a drop. We'll be right back.
I'm Casey Lohr.
And Marissa Strickler.
From Shannon Art's production of A Piece of My Heart. And you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
47 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Albemarle County School Superintendent Dr. Pam Moran, talking about improving the quality of K-12 education throughout our wonderful state. But first, we're going to get into a wonderful state of our own. Here's Greg Brown.
Well, thank you. So when I knew I was coming on today, I was like, well, how do you look at 21 tracks and which tune am I going to play? So, and as I went through the track listing, it made sense. So plug here too. So I've seen Black Mac twice.
Uh-huh.
Loved it. Better each time. So this is a piece, as I was writing many years ago, this is one of these oldies but goodies, this is the tune that made sense for me to play today. So this is Burnham Wood.
Oh, yeah. No!
Absolutely. I have to play that song. You know, it's obviously, Macbeth is definitely one of my faves. So.
Oh, my God. That was so awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Aw. See, this is why it's awesome having friends who are artists. Because they do stuff like that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
All right. So the new album comes out on the 10th.
Mm-hmm. How can people get it?
Self-titled album, mm-hmm. Greg C. Brown. Yep. So where can we get it?
Cool. So you can pre-order it already on iTunes, Spotify, CD Now, CD Baby, blah, 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 you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Cool.
I'm doing a tangible release. Details will follow September 22nd. Sorry,
okay.
I have the dates. Just working out details with the venue.
Okay.
You can also currently download it on Bandcamp, which is always nice because
a
musician gets more margin that way.
Yes.
Bandcamp.
So, Bandcamp.
Yeah, iTunes takes a hell of a cut, and all those other and the like.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's always nice. You want to support an artist, check out Bandcamp first, please.
Yes.
Yeah. So so should be fun, and I'm playing out, you know, all over the place the next
yes.
4 or 6 weeks. So.
You're like at Wegmans almost every Friday, like.
Yeah. Actually, next Saturday I'm actually doing an afternoon thing, 1 to 3.
Oh, so, cool.
Which will be fun. So that's a daylight show. So,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be fun.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And
thanks.
Thank
Great
you
to see you
for
guys
the
again.
Song.
Yeah,
that's
anytime.
Lovely.
Yeah.
All right, Greg. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care.
Oh.
All right. 53 minutes past the hour. This
yes.
is Homegrown. And I think it's time for Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Thank you, Clinton. This week, you know, I haven't been doing rants. Mostly because there's been a lot going on, and I did not want to do something that was completely emotional and not thought through. But a couple of things happened last night during the run of the show and after the show, and I think it is probably one of the most important things ever, and it needs to be talked about. A few days ago, a friend of mine posted a video on Facebook of him asking his daughter to jump out of a tree, and she was scared and she was crying and she was yelling at him, you know, why are you making me do this? And he posted it because the point was to make sure that she was strong, that she had the capacity to believe in herself, that she did not let the fear of something that might happen stop her from doing something. And the flip side of that is also that this is a black father and a black daughter, and it is absolutely something that the black community does. We have to teach our children to press on despite any fear. And the most beautiful thing that happened last night, you know, I'm doing this Shakespeare piece with all of these beautiful black men from different social backgrounds, from different educational backgrounds. And last night I had 4 different conversations with black men, all about emotion, all about them dealing with something emotional or hard that has happened in their life. And this process has made me realize that the black community as a whole has also internalized the lie that black men are inherently untrustable. There's something to be feared. They are automatically criminalized. And to a certain extent, we have done that to ourselves. But the conversations I had last night, the wonderful post that my friend made about him teaching his daughter not only to go for what she wants, no matter how much she might fear it, in that same moment, he was also teaching her that no matter what, daddy will always be there for her. And that is a beautiful thing for a black girl to know. So I thought that it was important to talk about that today. To remind everyone to take note of how you perceive people based on what society has told you about them, and try to fight against that. Because in the process of doing this show, I have met possibly some of the most amazing, talented, beautiful human beings, and they are all Black men. And that's the Weekly Rant.
All right. This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'd like to thank our guests, Adam Disbro and Greg Brown. Our opening music is Spit It Out Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. The music you're listening to now is Greg Brown from his upcoming album. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munsonberg Legal Services. Like a Song. Coming up next, the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is Albemarle County School Superintendent Dr. Pam Moran, talking about improving the quality of K-12 education throughout the state. That was Leslie. I'm Clinton. See you again next week.
Contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.